Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the Millennial Dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back to another episode of the Millennial Dentist Podcast. So today, I want to talk about the value of a chair. One of the most eye-opening things that I'll take from 2022 was just the when I realized kind of what the potential value of a chair was. And I think this conversation ultimately is going to pertain to a lot of people. I think it pertains to the doctor who's looking to try and expand, like, do I need to expand? Or, and along those same lines, like the doctor who has so many ops and feels like they need more ops to be successful or et cetera. And I think we don't fully appreciate like the true value of what a chair actually has the potential to produce and the value of it. So that's what we're going to discuss today, which I'm pumped to talk about. Hey, if you are, you know, in dentistry and you don't know about 3D dentists, check us out, 3D-dentist.com. You should, if you listen to this podcast. And we got a big summit coming up, our inaugural practice growth summit in May in Nashville, May 4th to 5th. So check it out, 3D-dentist.com. Okay, so let's jump into this. So this really started to happen when I kind of started to figure out, okay, started to project on where we wanted to take our practice with our new building. And this idea that our hygiene flow kept growing to the point that like we're getting booked out further and further and further. And so you start to think, okay, what is a typical hygiene chair worth? Well, in a PPO environment, you're probably looking at like the potential of a hygiene chair is 15 grand a month. So by occupying that in my office, 10 by 12 space or 10 by 11 space, whatever it is, my best potential is to gross $15,000 a month. When you say it like that, it's kind of like, wow, that's not super, you know, productive and therefore profitable out of a chair if it's only netting, you know, $15,000 a month. Now, let's take that for example. Now, then you have to say, okay, well, what is the potential of a doctor's chair? You know, now I get, and I saw this conversation on Facebook, which is kind of what, you know, and one of the doctors on there said, well, it depends on who's running the chair. And they're not wrong, because if you take like one of, we'll just use my associates, for example, typically like a general dentist doctor in a PPO environment probably is going to be somewhere between $50,000 to $65,000 a month in production running out of their chair. Now, I think one of the things that we'll get into is throughout this is like this idea of one doctor and one chair, because that's something that I'm a pretty big proponent about. And so what I mean by that is like, I believe that in our office, each doctor gets one chair. One chair, ideally one assistant, unless you're doing IV or some sort of sedation and more surgical stuff, but you're going to get one chair and one assistant. And well, the initial reaction is probably, well, I can produce a lot more if I've got multiple chairs. And that's true. If we're looking at this from a straight clinician perspective, if I've got two chairs, I have a much higher likelihood of hitting numbers than if I only got one chair. Now, the challenge with that is that as an owner, as someone running the business, I look at that and say, well, your production spread over two chairs. So let's take an example. You got dentist A who produces $60,000 and they routinely run out of two chairs, or that second chair is not being occupied by someone else other than them because they're kind of either running in a staggered schedule standpoint, or that's just where they're seeing additional stuff. So now what I really, in my opinion, should do as a business owner is I should take that doctor's production and I should divide it by two chairs. So in theory, if that doctor's producing 60 grand and they're working out of two chairs or occupying them throughout that time period, then they're really only netting $30,000 a chair. Now, that's better than hygiene, obviously, but it's still self-limiting from a standpoint of, I would rather have, as an owner, two doctors producing 50 grand out of two chairs, or two doctors producing 45 grand out of one chair, than I would having one doctor producing 60 grand. Now, so that to me is kind of a, like, that should make sense, right? Because, okay, well, now as a business owner, I have two doctors in two different chairs, each running one chair. They're potentially underproducing relative to their potential if they just went crazy in two chairs, but now they're netting way more per chair. Now, that should lead to some level of other conversations. I'm going to write this down just so I come back to it. But how does that make the associate feel? That's a good discussion to have. Yeah, so we'll come back to that part. But so as a business owner, that makes sense. So now I've got and then really you got to look at, okay, well, what's the cost of the overhead of those chairs, right? Well, for me as a business owner, I'm paying my associates some sort of percentage of either production or adjusted production or collections or whatever it is that you do. And so it doesn't cost me any more to have two dentists than one dentist. Now, for you owners out there, I want you to think about that. It doesn't cost you any more to have two dentists than it does one dentist, because their cost is associated with the percentage that they do. So whether I'm paying one dentist to do $100,000 and I'm paying them 30% of adjusted production, so now they get paid $30,000, or I'm paying two dentists and they each do $50,000, it costs me the same number for them to do that. Now, the one thing, if you're kind of nitpicking, is yes, you do probably have an extra assistant cost in that, but that's negligible. And then obviously your other costs, like your variable costs, like materials and stuff like that, is going to be the same, whether it was being done by two dentists versus one dentist. So this was a really eye-opening concept for me, because then I started to say, okay, well, one, as a owner, my time's probably better spent creating some level of diversity amongst providers. And for a couple of reasons, one, it gives us some level of redundancy, meaning that now if, like, for instance, Jackson's leaving us, I've still got another provider to step in, versus if I had one super GP provider and then that provider left, now all of a sudden I've got a lot more production. Remember, same cost, right? So if I'm saying, okay, I got $120,000 in production that I need a doctor to do, I would rather have two doctors doing $60,000 or one doctor doing 80, one doctor doing 40 than one doctor doing the 120. It just, as a business owner, I have more risk or more liability there. So then let's get into this conversation about, well, how does that make an associate feel? Because, well, one, I think that they should understand and get it from a business perspective that there's value there. And one, I'm trying to get them to understand that you can be as productive as one chair as two, and that your ability to produce and make more money is not tied to running like a hamster. It's tied to increasing your skill set. And I say that because, like, I lead by example, right? Like, I'll be the highest producer in our office relative to the chair, meaning I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to work out of one chair, but I will double what my associates produce in a month, not off of volume, right, but off of just the nature of the clinical business. So then this kind of gets back into where, okay, you got your $15,000 chair for a hygienist. You've got your, let's call it $50,000 chair for your associate. You know, you've got your $80,000 chair for your more seasoned kind of veteran producing doctor, I would say. And then now when we get into the specialty world, we can start to get into 140, 150, 200, I mean, gosh, $250,000 a month in a chair. I mean, if you think about it, if I do dual arch hybrids, or let's say I do dual arch hybrids and I do one dual arch a day. Well, that chair for that day is an average cost of $20,000. Let's just make it for easy numbers. That's $40,000. And then let's say that I'm going to work. Let's say that we can get a marketing situation where we have the volume to do it. And then I could do 2 days a week doing that. Well, that's 2, 4, 6, 8. That's 8 days. 8 times $40,000 if I was not on the spot, I probably would do it without this calculator, but it's 8 times 4. It's $320,000. So let's scale it. So that's insane, but that's not that unrealistic. So let's scale that back. And let's say that you're going to do some single arches. So let's say that you do 10 arches a month. Well, 10 times 4, 10 times 40 or 10 times 20, excuse me, is $200,000. That's super reasonable for those out there that are questioning whether that's real or not. So now I have space that's dedicated in my office, the same square footage, by the way, 10 by 12, that could be devoted for $15,000, $50,000, $80,000, or upwards of $200,000. Which one do you want? Now, I'm not saying that it's that easy, right? Or that I'm not saying that, like, yes, we should all then become niche specialty practices. That's not what I'm advocating. What I am advocating is that you build a base, or you get to base to a certain level, and then yes, you should be creating or looking to create a startup type business that any other chairs you have within your practice are only devoted to what has the most potential. And it makes sense, right? Like, I mean, we're a busy practice, legacy practice, fourth generation, established a while, we're insurance driven for the most part. We're booked out in hygiene for 8 months, and we could add another one or two columns of hygiene. And next thing you know, we've got seven operatories of hygiene, but it's limiting. And I think a lot of us, what happens is we get on this hamster wheel and we keep adding hygienists or adding because we feel like we need this number to bring in these new patients, and it just kills us. And that's a hard conversation too, because then what I'm saying is ultimately we're limiting our base, or we become more picky on who we let into the practice, meaning that any marketing we're doing is not to just a new general practice patient, but they're for a specific niche that fits a specific need that we've got. So this was really eye-opening to me for a couple of reasons. One is I was obviously trying to figure out, okay, one, we have a hygiene bottleneck issue where we've got currently five operatories of hygiene. And so in theory, we've got, if those are occupied 5 days a week, we've got 25 days of hygiene. Now, because of our team members not working 5 days a week, I think we're right at 22 days of hygiene. So my really only way to increase hygiene flow at this point would be to potentially add someone part-time to pick up those chairs during the days they're not being used. Challenge there is they're kind of like random days, so it may be difficult to find somebody. And then I'm bringing in someone to the culture that's a part-time employee, which I don't love, versus a full-time employee. And so naturally, then the only other way to do it would be to add another operatory or take up another operatory that's being leveraged or potentially leveraged for something else to do hygiene. And then to cut me back to that $15,000 a month thing. Now, yes, some other person also listening has probably already said, well, yeah, but hygiene, what the real value that they bring, you know, almost like a loss leader, is not what the production that's generated from the chair, but the generated in other people's chair from that chair. And I agree with you on that. I mean, the true value of a hygienist is the rapport and ability to communicate and co-diagnose with the patient in regards to the potential of what they can do with their oral health. It's easy to find someone to just clean teeth. I mean, I don't mean that disrespectfully to hygienists at all, but that's the baseline of what they do. And nothing separates a new graduate from someone who's been doing it 30 years on how well they scrape teeth. So to me, if you want to differentiate yourself as a hygienist, it's not in scraping teeth really well. It's what you bring to the table outside of that. Even then, though, what I'll tell you is that the majority of dentistry that comes from hygiene is not going to be dentistry that gets into that bucket of the 120, 140, 160, 200 grand chair. It's really going to funnel into those, the $50,000 and the $80,000 chair. Just because we don't diagnose typically a ton of larger case type things in a hygiene chair. Yeah, you're going to get some every often, but I don't have hybrids come in through hygiene, maybe one or two a year. Majority of those are coming in through a new patient consult, direct marketing, et cetera. So when you start to get into like these larger niche type cases, aesthetics, you know, we talk about veneers, ortho even, hybrids, even single implants. Those type things, you at some point have to generate business to bring in just because there's not a natural volume that's happening or occurring within the hygiene base. So this kind of got me thinking. So I had to have conversations with hygiene and say, one is that we're going to block for new patients and that ultimately this is what we got. Sullivan Dental Partners is probably going to continue to grow, but we're not going to grow beyond five hygiene chairs. I'm not going to sacrifice my ultimate potential to fill, you know, to just become a volume-based hygiene practice. And we've got 11,000 square feet, right? So we're huge now. You know, we weren't next door, but we did kind of start doing this in our ADOT practice, in that you give up the hygiene day to do it, have a doctor practice in that chair becomes really valuable. So downstairs, let's just look at our downstairs practice. We've got a new patient suite, which is specifically for new patient consults, 5 hygiene chairs, and 5 doctor's chairs. Now, what I've said basically is I'm not going to add the 6th hygiene chair because, one, that is the potential for me to bring in maybe a specialist, an endodontist, a periodontist, and then increase the value of those other chairs. And so from 5 hygienists, I think we can very easily support 3 general dentists. Now, this gets into a little bit of like, okay, when you look at growth, how many hygiene chairs do you need to support 1 dentist? And traditionally, that model would be 2, even 3 in some situations. And so part of the way that this all ties in together, and all the way this it's like not the chicken or the egg, is that in order to practice out of 1 chair, in order to hit those numbers out of 1 chair, you gotta change the way that you see dentistry, the way that you diagnose and communicate dentistry, and ultimately close the dentistry. Like, it'd be difficult to do those kind of numbers if you didn't offer sedation, because sedation, not only does it help close patients with anxiety, but to me, what sedation really does is it helps me do more in less time. Because now the ability to numb them everywhere, to knock out a whole, you know, multiple quadrants of dentistry in 1 visit is a much higher reality than someone who's not sedated and doesn't want all that going on. So then my time obviously is way more valuable out of that chair, because I'm seeing 1 patient for 3 hours and we're doing $6,000 worth of restorative dentistry. That's fillings and crowns. That's not crazy big high-end dentistry. It's just a matter of, can you see the dentistry? Can you present the dentistry, or are you presenting the dentistry? Do you communicate that in an effective way that the patient sees the value in the dentistry? And then do you have financial ways to close that, to make it affordable for your patients? And then do you even have the time on your schedule? And for a lot of us, that's the problem. You don't have a 4-hour chunk of time for a couple months. And that gets into like our core fundamentals, right? Like, everything we do at 3D Dentists revolves around 4 things: diagnosis, communication, financial arrangements, and scheduling. And those 4 basics are ultimately what really guides the potential for this concept of 1 doctor, 1 chair, and to get into an opportunity where I have a higher value of stuff. So as we wrap up this episode, because I do want to keep this relatively brief, I'm trying to keep the episodes a little more succinct, is that I want to kind of like paint a dream for you, a stupid dream that maybe will at least try to get you to understand what I'm saying. So I got 5 hygiene ops. That's $15,000 a month. $15,000 a month times 5 is 75 grand, times 12 is $900,000. So let's say they do good and I get $1 million from hygiene. Now I got 5 other chairs downstairs. How do I distribute amongst them? Well, I need 1 chair probably for emergencies or some sort of overflow that the doctors would share. And then I have the potential to run 4 doctors out of those 5 chairs. Now, people would be like, that can't be done. That's impossible. And so most people would say, okay, well, 5 ops, maybe you've got 2 docs, with 2 docs running 2 chairs with an overflow. Like, some people would say that. And so let's say those 2 docs do 100 grand a piece. That's 200 grand a month. 200 grand a month times 12 is 2.4 million. Now you got a $3.4 million practice with 2 doctors and a bunch of hygienists. And that's a pretty reasonable thing that most people would say, hey, that's attainable. Those numbers check out. I can do that. That's not crazy. Or maybe it's 3 doctors. Maybe that's more realistic. It's 3 doctors and you've got 1 of them as a high producer, and then you've got the other 2 split out across. Now, what I see then is I look at those and say, well, okay, now I'm going to say I got my 5 ops to $1 million. I've got 2 doctors that I'm going to maintain for the general practice to support those 5 doctors, and they're going to produce, we're going to call it $70,000 a month. Or maybe let's do a collective number. Let's do $120,000 collectively between the two docs. And they're going to take up two chairs. So now those chairs are each hitting 60. So I got three chairs left. So one chair I'm going to leave as an overflow emergency type chair because I don't like to book everything out. And then the other two chairs I'm now going to hold out for specialists for marketing and whatnot that I would bring into. And let's say I'm going to make those chairs each worth $150,000 a month. Very doable. So now I'm getting $150,000 a month out of those chairs. So 150 a month times 12 times 2. I now have 3.6 million coming out of two chairs. 150,000 a month times 2 times 12 is 3.6 million. Now, that is a big number to throw up for a GP. $150,000. It's not unrealistic, but it's going to have to get into those numbers. So now as a business owner, what do you think that I'm looking at doing? You think I'm trying to grow my general practice or you think I'm trying to grow the specialty part of the practice? The general practice comes with more people. I got to have more team members. I got to have more parking spaces. I got to have more hygiene chairs. That's more insurance patients. On some level, that part of the practice brings on more headache. It's a great base. I'm not telling you to forego the base. All of us have got to establish a base. A base is what recession proofs us. It's what gives us the dentistry for the associate to live off on, you know, which ultimately can buy us more time to do whatever it is we want, whether it's produce more, take more time off, et cetera. But at some point, you got to understand that the potential value of the chair is so much greater. And so to me, you've got to cap on some level that growth of that practice. And so what you're going to hear more about me for 2023 as we move on is the just how we've built out this startup within our business, our niche practice, our specialty practice, whatever you want to call it. Because my goal is ultimately, I'm trying to have my four operatories upstairs. I want those four operatories upstairs to have one overflow and then three surgeons in there. If I have three surgeons doing eight arches a month, we'll go back to that eight arches a month times $20,000. That's 160 times three is 480 times 12 is now I've got basically 8 million out of four chairs. That's kind of a little bit of a mind blower up there. 5.8 million out of four chairs versus 3.4 million out of 11 chairs downstairs. And you say, well, that's not possible. Heck yeah, it's possible. That's eight arches a month. That's not crazy. The crazy part is eight arches a month's only probably half of those are going to come in doubles. So that's like 5 days of surgery. Let's do another 5 days for the restorative portion of that. That's like working 10 to 12 days a week, a month. It's not even touching the potential. And all we got to do to make that happen is to figure out, okay, what knobs do we need to turn from a marketing standpoint to drive those patients in? Do we have the ability to communicate it, have financial arrangements, and the opportunity to schedule it in place? And do I have the providers that can do it? And so this is a little bit of a plug to our practice, is that like if you're somebody who wants to do large surgery, cosmetic type cases, and you just want to focus on, you know, being that $1.5 million, $2 million producer in that environment, dude, give me a call. I will crank the knobs. I will pull the levers. I will fill a chair that allows you to do that type of dentistry because I see the potential value in focusing on that. I hope this was helpful. If you like this kind of stuff, again, I mean, if you've heard us talk about our mastermind program, you got to check it out. It's so good. It's this type of conversations. It's camaraderie with other dentists that are like-minded trying to move the needle forward. We meet a couple times a year. We've got an ongoing program. We have a team mastermind where the team members get involved as well, meet with our team members. It's just a great gig. So check us out. That's 3D-dentist.com for the mastermind info. And I hope this was helpful. I think it's just it's a different way of thinking when you start to realize the potential. And most of us don't set our goals or look at things at like a potential number. We just think of like, oh, what historically have we done? Or, well, in order to grow, I got to add a hygiene. And that's not necessarily true. Work smarter, not harder. We'll talk next time.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.